Hey again, everybody. Welcome here to EAG Church Online. I hope that you are having a good day so far and that this occasion finds you ready to receive a good message from the Lord. And it might not be for you particularly today, but I pray that you'll remember some of these things so that you can take it and use it to minister to some of the young people in your life. I want to start right off with our verse for today. It's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. I want to read it to you in three different versions. The first is the NIV. It says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." The English Standard Version says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And the Message Translation says, "Find a good spouse, you find a good life, and even more, the favor of God." Father, as we look at your word today, as we study how our young people, Lord, can know how to find God's good thing in their life, God's spouse in their life, I pray, God, that you'll speak truth to us. I pray that it won't just tickle our brain or just be something that we think up there, but it will transform us, Lord, in the way that we think about relationships. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know if some of you might be old enough. I don't even know if they still sing it. But when I was a kid, there was this poem that friends would tease you with when they thought that you liked somebody. For instance, it would be like Gary and Nancy sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in a baby carriage, or something like that. I know if you've not heard that, you think I'm crazy. I didn't make that up. It was just a silly little song people used to sing as kids. But Proverbs says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And what I want to talk today, especially to young people, is how to find a good thing, how to find the right person. Now, marriage was designed by God to be a good thing. The Hebrew word for good thing means to be acceptable, pleasing, beneficial, delightful. Everything that God made, he said it was good. Now, the sad reality in our world today, though, however, is that people don't see marriage as a good thing. They're not experiencing the blessing that comes with Proverbs 18:22. But here's the thing, and for those of you who are not married but want to be married one day, this message is really geared to help you make the right choice when that comes along. For those of you who are married and say, "Yeah, that's my problem, I made a bad choice," I want to help you to love the choice you made. Now, I might be talking to someone, this is your first marriage, your second, your third, things are not working out. I'm hoping it will be your last. I want you to love your choice. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't go back in time and say, "Oh, I wish I knew all this 30 years ago." I believe that God can give you the grace to turn things around. I want to go back real quickly to one of the wonderful love stories, you could say, in the Bible. It's from Genesis chapter 29, and it says, "Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure, as beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, 'I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban said, 'It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay with me here.'" Verse 20, "Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her." That's where all the ladies go, "Oh, wow, look at that. That's so amazing." You know, because you're thinking, "I asked my husband to take out the trash, just one little thing, and it's hard, but he served 7 years, but they only seem like a few days because of his love." What I want to do is cast a vision for you today, especially you young people, that our society does a lousy job at. You've seen so much that you think there's only bad relationships out there, or the relationships don't last very long. But I want to give you hope and remind you that marriage is a God-ordained thing, and it's wonderful. This message is for everyone who thinks that someday they're going to find that special person, they're going to become a couple, and they're going to be in love as long as they both shall live. And this is also, again, for those who need to know how to be reminded how to keep the love alive in the marriage that they have. Now, here's a little secret that every married couple here knows that maybe you young adults and teenagers have not thought of yet. Your present that will eventually be in your past will keep showing up in your future if you're not careful. Many people thought that once they got married, it was a new beginning, in a sense that our past is going to be our past and the relationship is going to be new. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to live happily ever after. I want to tell you ahead of time, what you are doing now will follow you, good or bad. It will follow you. You make good choices and have good habits and things now, well, they'll follow you. But you do bad things and make bad habits, your choices, your character, your relationships have a way of showing up in your future. Let me say it like this. I've never met a married couple that had marriage problems. What I see more often than not are people with problems who got married and their problems eventually followed them and showed up in their marriage. A marriage problem is, do we squeeze the toothpaste in the middle or the bottom, or do we each have our own tube? Nancy and I each have our own, by the way. Which way does the toilet paper come off the roll? Does it come off the top or underneath, right? These aren't life-changing things, but these are things you deal with. Who pays the bills? Who buys the groceries? Who takes care of the yard? Who cleans the house? Which parent's house will we go to on Christmas or Thanksgiving? And so what really happens is that single people come into marriage and they drag their problems with them because they haven't looked at them. One of my goals when I do marriage counts is to make sure we look at the issues of people's lives so they don't bring extra baggage into their marriage. And the reason people get into trouble when they get married is that they believe the right person myth, which is if I marry the right person, everything's going to be all right. And you know how someone knows they've met the right person? They think this is right because we have chemistry. We just talk about each other all the time, and we text on the phone for hours, and we like to do the same things. He's on my mind all the time. We have all this chemistry and warm fuzzies when we get near each other. And here's what else they believe, that no one has ever loved in the history of the world like they are right now. Not their parents, no one in history, no one in the movies, no one anywhere at any time. They are convinced that this is once in a lifetime, amazing relationship, and they get married. The problem is they didn't have anything but chemistry. They didn't know much about relationships. Now, this is not everybody, of course, but they couldn't make decisions. They couldn't solve problems. They couldn't agree to disagree agreeably. They thought, I don't have to be good at relationships because I married the right person and they're good at relationships. I don't have to be patient because she's never going to do anything to make me have to be patient. I don't have to be patient. I don't have to be critical because he will never do anything that I don't like because he's the right person. And guess what happens? Eventually, these newlyweds begin to have some of these problems. Now, guess what kind of problems they have? They're not having chemistry problems. They're having relationship problems because they didn't do enough to prepare for the relationship. They just thought love will keep us together. They start having troubles, and guess what starts to suffer? The chemistry. And where it's been so passionate and fun, it's not working now. And the guy is really confused and thinks, hey, we just need to have more sex. And the girl thinks that's not how it works. And suddenly there's all this tension and confusion. The very thing, the reason they got married, the chemistry starts to die because they're no good at relationships. It's because they believe the right person myth. If I find the right person, everything will be all right. And then someone has an idea. I know what will help bring us closer together. Let's have a baby. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's bring another human being into our struggling relationship. And they do that. And now, you know, it gets a little bit harder and there are new problems. And then, you know, the tension stays there, and he's at work one day and notices some nice lady he's been working with, or a woman is out somewhere and meets this wonderful, caring man. And after a while, as they pay more attention to these other people instead of who they're married to, do you know what they think? They think, I know what's wrong with my marriage. I married the wrong person, and who I'm around now seems like the right person. A man saw a very attractive girl waiting for his flight at the airport. He approached her and said, hey, is there any chance you'd go out on a date with a guy like me? And she said, well, anything's possible. I might. So he asked her, what kind of guy are you interested in? Well, to tell you the truth, she said, I really like to go out with Native Americans because they have that rugged good looks and that chiseled facial features. But again, I also like to go out with Jewish men because they're usually very well off financially. And I love their culture and their traditions. But I guess my favorite I had to pick would be a good old country boy. By the way, she said, what's your name? And he said, my name's Geronimo Bernstein, but you can call me Bubba if you like. That's what my friends call me. See, people do those type of games that they play with each other, trying to put their best front forward. Let me tell you, there's a different approach to having a right relationship and a happy marriage, but you won't find it advertised on TV or on the internet. It's not that society is against a happy marriage. It's just not how it is. In most cases, our culture doesn't highlight healthy relationships or happy marriages because that doesn't sell. So they emphasize cheating and divorce and illicit sex and the dysfunctional lives of well-known people. And if you date with a mindset that if I can just find the right person, everything will be all right, you bought into the fairy tale that will not work. Or it might work for just a little while, but not the long haul. So how can you find and marry the right person? I want to give you three critical things to think about. Number one, to find the right person, be the right person. Be the right person. I need you to wrap your head around this. Forget about finding the right person for now. The question you need to ask, are you becoming the right person? To find the right person, be the right person. It starts with you. You got to work on it. Now, you've all seen people who've gotten divorced and then they're back on the market, so to speak, and they don't want to be single. They want to be married again. So here's a guy who let himself go in his marriage. He maybe gained some weight or whatever. And so he gets divorced. What does he do? He joins the gym. He goes on a diet. He signs up for the hair club for men or whatever he thinks he needs to do to make the outside look good. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But this is what nobody ever told you. After many years, people wake up on the other side of the bed or the wrong side of marriage. They wonder why they are more like roommates instead of soulmates. And if you were to sit down, you could come up with a list of all the things that you would look for in a future boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife. And I want them to be this or that. I don't want them to have that problem or that hang up. But again, are you the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you working on you? Are you being intentional? Are you working towards becoming the person, you know, that other people would love to be married to or have a relationship with? Or are you just hoping someday that you just find the right person and you feel it and then you're going to go from there? Listen to me. Here's the interesting thing. When you open the pages of Scripture, you will find little help in getting insight into finding the right person. It's not in there. But this is where what you do find is a whole lot of teaching about how you can become the right person, how you can be God's person. It is natural for you to want to hear someone say, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You're the most important person in my life. I have so much respect for you. When I hear the car pull up in the driveway, I'm excited that you're home. You were created to be in love with God and in love with other people. God made it that way. It's all the way back in the very first chapters of the book of Genesis. But it won't happen accidentally is what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't happen if you just make yourself available to enough men and enough women. Then eventually somehow you meet what you think is the right one. You've got to be intentional about becoming the right person. I want to give you a list from the Bible. And I'm suggesting that you practice all these things every time you date, in every conversation, in every relationship you have, whether this person is someone that's a candidate for you to maybe have as a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or to be married to, because becoming godly in Christ Jesus prepares you to be attracted and to be the right person. If you want to develop some sweet dating skills, here they are. And if you want to prepare yourself and get better, here are some starting points in how to become the person that you are looking for. You need to become the one that they will be looking for as well. And it's coming out of one of the famous chapters in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Those of you've been a Christian for a while, we call this the love chapter. So let me highlight some of these and just tell you what I'm talking about. Love is patient. Okay? It means love never pressures the other person. Love creates as much space and margin as the other person needs. If you're in a relationship and the other person always pushing you, rush, 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 do this, do that, they're not loving you in those moments. This doesn't suddenly appear as a virtue just because you say, I do. It develops over time. Every day you need to get better, being patient. Young people, be patient with old people. Be patient with your parents. Be patient with whoever is around you. Learn it now. We're not talking about just somebody that you're attracted to. Secondly, love is kind. We don't like this kind of word. I think that way. It's kind of a wimpy thing. A better word might be considerate. Love is considerate. Love is kind. It thinks about the other person. We consider how the other person feels or what they like, or we respect their ideas or whatever. So I'm not suggesting that you work on this after you think you found the right person. I'm saying work on this now in all the relationships in your life so that by the time you meet that special person, they're going to think, man, you are the most kind, considerate person they've ever met. Why wouldn't they want to spend their life with someone like you? Let me tell you what married people thought, and I don't need to become kind or considerate because when I meet the right person, they're going to be so perfect, I won't have to be that kind or I won't have to be that considerate or that patient. It'll just be natural. A couple of kids were in their attic reading old letters their parents had written when they were in love and young, and the boy said to the girl, these aren't the names they call each other now. Doesn't have to be that way, folks. Number three, love does not envy. A whole lot of couples, maybe some people you know, split up over this. Envy is, I don't feel good about me, so I can't let you feel good about you. I'm going to drag you down so that I look better. And some of you have problems with this because the way you were raised. And if you don't fix this, you know, you'll drag everybody down in every relationship. You'll be a Debbie Downer or Dudley Downer. You know, you just be that person that people don't want to be around because, you know, you're insecure. People get married and she might be a little bit more successful than him and he doesn't like it, or he might be more outgoing than she is and she's a little jealous. And if couples, they drag each other down. Do you know how you can fix this? When you're on a date and they tell you a story, instead of trying to one-up their story, just listen, be receptive, be complimentary. You know, let them wow you. You know, guy says he hit a home run in a softball game the other night. Well, you know, say, hey, let me see your muscles. You know, wow, you're an amazing man. I'm glad I married you. Don't tell them that your dad played for the New York Yankees and your brother just signed a contract with the Atlanta Braves or something. You just killed them right there. You know, celebrate other people's stories. This doesn't come naturally, so we've got to learn how to go wow and just be quiet and just let people, you know, share their stories. 4, love is not boastful or proud. I know what you're thinking. Time out. This all sounds like the worst date ever. If we're going to go out and we're going to do all these things. Hey, let's be patient. Let's be kind. Let's be considerate. We won't envy. We'll just drive around and we won't be able to make a decision where to eat because they'll say, no, well, where do you want to go? It doesn't matter. Where do you want to go? Let me ask you a question. For those of you who have seen friends, family, or loved ones separate or divorce, or you've seen your parents or others, you know, have tough times in their marriage, do you think maybe that if your father was a little bit more considerate of how your mom felt, things might have been better? Or if your mother was more patient, or they showed each other more kindness, or if there wasn't so much competition, do you think if they would have had some of this in their life, it might have kept the relationship or made it better? The answer is yes. Do you realize the opportunity you have, young people? You have time right now to allow God to transform and mold your character in the image of Jesus. That's what this is about. See, dating is not so much all the physical things and all the, you know, things that we look at, the things that we think are important. It's a very spiritual thing that we're talking about. You've got to decide either you're going to become who God intended you to be or not. Marriage won't help you get where you need to be, sooner. You know, if you think, if I just get the right person, I'll take care of that, and then I can work on all that. No, work on it now. So that when the time comes and you're blessed with somebody who wants to spend the rest of their life with you, you're going to be ready. You'll be so attractive to that person where it really counts is on the inside. Some of you have missed this for so long. Do you know that if some of you met the person of your dreams this week, they might not be attracted to you because you haven't been working on you. You're not who God needs you to be. Okay, 5, love does not dishonor. That means you'll never ever create regret or do something that others will regret. You'll never be part of someone's regret story. You'll never be the one people thought, I never wish I answered the phone. I wish I never said yes, or I never wished I went out with them. You will never be the one to cause regret in someone's life. Here are some other words to spell this out. Does not behave disgracefully or dishonorably or indecently. And I want you to get this. Start to learn to honor a man and honor a woman. You know, if you're a young Christian man, then every girl that you meet initially is your sister in Christ. Same for you girls, they're your brother in Christ. So learn how to, you know, just be an honorer. All of us married people thought that once we got married, because we said I do to the right person, honoring, you know, would come easy because they were so awesome. It will just pull honor out of me, but it doesn't always work that way. Paul goes on to say, 6, love is not self-seeking. Now stop there and let me ask you a question. Does any of this come naturally? No. Do you know what comes naturally in a relationship? Passion. Chemistry, selfishness, can't wait to be alone with you. Those things come naturally, man. I mean, man, you're feeling it. You know, the hormones are raging and racing, and it's exciting. Let me tell you, it is exciting. See, what I'm talking about here, the spiritual side of things, this requires effort. This requires the transformation of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking Bible study time. I'm talking about prayer time. And you can do this if you decide that from this point on, you are not searching for the right person. You are following the Holy Spirit and letting him make you into the right person so that when that one comes along, you'll be ready. I came across this statement this week while I was doing research and studying it, and somebody said this: you're either single for a reason or a season. You're either single for a season or a reason. So if it's a season, just wait on the Lord. Keep working on you. And that's going to require looking in the mirror, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Where am I? What do I need to do for help? You know, so I'm mostly talking about the spiritual side of things here, but there's a lot to it. You know, if you've had emotional issues, if you've been abused or there's been serious bad things happen, you grew up in a bad environment, you're still single for a reason. You got some issues. See, everybody has hurts in life, but what hurts make you sad. How do you deal with the hurt? Because hurt has the potential to turn to anger. And how do you deal with anger? Because if you don't handle the anger correctly, you're going to have a bad response, bad reaction to different things that happen in your life. It's going to create a chain reaction of constant bad things following you. Ephesians 4 says this: be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Literally, the word for opportunity is topos, which means a place. Don't give the devil a place to get in any part of your life and cause a problem, whether you're single, married, whatever's happening. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits sins. So people that have hurts in life that didn't deal with them correctly, and that hurt has made them sad, and then it's made them mad, and they have anger issues. Listen, if that's you, listen, be a good student of you. Take care of those things. Work on the inside, on the inner person. Deal with spiritual, deal with emotional baggage, deal with that. And wholeheartedly pursue the Lord. Proverbs 31:10 says, an excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. And I can tell you that because I'm a blessed man. If you want to find an excellent wife whose worth is far above jewels, then work on you. Amen. So that you will be an excellent husband, an excellent man, a man of honor, a man of integrity. Wholeheartedly pursue the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? The things that you worry about. Just be about God's business first and listen, God will take care of things. Psalm 84 verse 11, NIV says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. If you walk uprightly, he won't withhold good things from you. He promises that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So that is one of the good things that the Lord wants to give you, okay? Secondly, to find the right person, look up, not around. Look up, not around. You know, if you're any place in public and you just happen to be, you know, sitting at a table and just watching people be people, you'll see if an attractive girl walks by, you'll see a whole lot of guys turn that way. They're looking around, or the girls can do the opposite thing. You know, he's fine, or whatever people say or whatever they think. Well, that's looking around. Mickey Gilley wrote a song, said, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching her eyes, looking in faces of what I've been dreaming of. And so that's the looking around stuff. But to find the right person, we've got to look up. Again, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, the word for finds is the Hebrew word matsaw, M-A-T-S-A-W. Now, matsaw can mean to find what you're searching for, or going to mean to happen upon. So it's like this: you lose your wallet, you know, you don't know where you laid it or your keys or whatever, and you're looking for it, man. You thought you put them there, but they're not there. You thought there, and so you're looking. And so that's what one part of me, but it also means if you're just walking down the street and suddenly on the sidewalk there's a wallet laying there, you weren't looking for that. You just weren't searching for it, but you found it. And I think what the Lord is trying to communicate here is that he who finds a wife, it's not that he's searching high and low for a wife, looking around at everyone he meets. Is this a prospect? Is this somebody? He or she just happens upon that person because God wants to bless them with someone that he has prepared. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Keep looking to the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of your faith. Keep working on you. God is faithful and will lead you in the path where he wants you to go. David said in Psalm 27, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God. See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So waiting time is not wasted time. It's not wasted time because you're still working on you, right? You're still getting your life ready under the leading of the Lord. You know, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. So be patient. Secondly, be discerning. Look past the external. Look to see what's going on inside of this person's heart that you meet, and things are kind of heating up a little bit. What is this person like spiritually? What are they like emotionally? How do they treat their parents? How do they treat other people in their life? Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks good taste. So, well, how do you know if a woman has good taste? Well, you got to go below the surface. They might be looking great. Someone explained the difference between men and women. When a lady gets married, she thinks of herself, yeah, I'll change him. He's my project. I'll make him like I would need him to be. And when a guy gets married, he's thinking, I hope she never changes. I want her to be that same beautiful look, that same weight, that same disposition. I just want her to stay the way she is. And let me tell you the reality. None of those two things really happen for the most part. Be discerning. Find out, is this person pursuing Jesus? Because if they're not pursuing the Lord, which direction is this relationship headed? Are you going to be pulling each other different ways? I've done many marriages. I've done lots of counseling. And I can see pretty quickly guys, mostly, that just get into the relationship and they're acting all goody-goody and yes to church and things. But they have no intention when they get married of being that way. They go back to their old self, you know, hunting every Saturday or fishing. I'm not saying those things are bad, but they go back and they forget. So I'm saying you've got to know who are, be discerning. And guess what? One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. We can have the spiritual gift of discernment. Now that doesn't make us judges. It just that we're asking God to help us here. Years ago, Pat Boone's daughter, Debbie Boone, had a song that was a blockbuster hit, and it said, it can't be wrong if it feels so right. You know the number one reason why people get married? Feelings. You know the number one reason why they come out of marriage, when it comes, boil it down, it's feelings. They don't feel in love anymore. They don't feel cared for. They don't feel protected. They don't feel respected. So to find the right person, be the right person. Look up, not around. Here's number three. This is the last one. Lastly, to find the right person, trust the Lord's plan. God has a plan. How do you know that, Pastor? The Bible says so, that God has planned and ordained all the days of our life before one of them came to be. Psalm 37:4 says it like this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, delighting yourself in the Lord means you're soft and pliable, like a potter with the clay. It has to be a certain way so that it can be molded. And it means you've got to let your heart go the way that God's leading your heart. And if you do that, here's the promise. He will give you desires of your heart. God is a good God. He wants all of you to find that good and right and special person. He cares about your desires. In fact, the Bible says in Peter, cast your cares upon him, the Lord, because he cares for you. And you want to find the right person, be the right person. Look up, not around. Trust the Lord's plan. So here's the deal. Pretty much every Saturday, most every city in this country and in countries all over the world, a woman will put on, you know, a gorgeous white gown, and she'll look as beautiful as she's ever going to look, probably. Not always, but, you know, she's just going to give it to the guy, is going to wear a tux, and he's going to look better than he's ever looked, and they're going to stand at an altar, mostly, and exchange rings, and the pastor will lead them in making a promise, promises that they can't keep and vows they can't fulfill without God's help. They meant to keep them. They tried, but they couldn't because they weren't prepared. They overlooked a principle that we know is true for every other area of life, but for some reason we neglect this when it comes to relationships. Promises are no substitute for preparation. This is true in business. It's true in sports, in school, in life, everywhere. People think in relationships, I can promise my way past my lack of preparation. Just because you say I do doesn't make you able or capable. It only makes you accountable. And when you're accountable for something you are incapable of doing, you and the person you promise are going to become miserable. And there are so many people miserable marriage because they know what they're accountable for, but they can't keep their promises because they weren't prepared and they're not doing what they need to do now to get their life straight. And it begins with what I was talking about, these spiritual issues in our life. be loving, be kind, be patient, be considerate, all these things. In the Old Testament, the wisest man who ever lived said this: the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. So a prudent person is someone who understands that all of life is connected. What happens yesterday will impact tomorrow. What happens in my past, you know, can show up in my future. The prudent person understands that today is connected to tomorrow and the day after that. So what he does at home, what he does at school, at church, what he does when no one's watching, it all matters. It's all connected. It all comes together and part of making him or her who they will be, what the very core of their being is. Ways that we're talking about here, give thought to their ways, are behaviors, patterns, trends, pathways. Ways are what make us predictable. It's how you know what someone will do or say before they do it, because you know their way. You know, they show what's predictable. So here's what this is saying. The wise person gives thought to his ways because the best indicator of my future behavior is my past behavior. Now this is not, you know, totally complete in the sense that, you know, God doesn't forgive our sins and God doesn't make us new. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, you know, the reality of our day-to-day life, who we've become in the Lord. But the verse goes on to say, but the folly of fools is deception. The point is that whereas the prudent person looks at the direction of his life, the foolish person pays no attention. He doesn't care what he's done, what he's said, who he's hurt, what he does when he feels like doing it. He has no thought of making his life any better. They think that somehow everything's going to work out. They find the right person. They're going to do all the hard labor, and they're going to cover for them, and they're going to forgive them. They're going to, you know, drag them along. Proverbs 14:15, another verse from the wisest man who ever lived, said, the simple believe anything, but the prudent gives thought to their steps. So again, it's kind of the same thing. When you fall in love, you'll believe anything. It's okay. We're in love. We have our song. Yeah, your dad goes, but does he have a job? It's a proven fact that when you're in love, chemicals are released in our brain that makes us a little crazy. You know, we're crazy in love. That's a fact. A simple person believes anything. He'll say, I know I've got these bad habits and I don't go to church and blah, blah, but when we're together, I'm going to change. That rarely happens, ladies, men. This is why some of your parents freak out over your friends, by the way, because they see the path that they're on. And you don't see it because they're your friends and you like them. And that's why parents sometimes are tough on the choices, because they see you might be headed in a wrong direction, because they can see. Why can parents see? We've got a whole lot of years, you know, on our odometer, so to speak, so we can see these things. But see, the simple believes anything, but look how we contrast that. But a prudent man gives thought to his steps. Do you know why this is important? Because when you look at a person's steps, you can tell where they've been, you can tell where they're going. Promises don't mean anything if you can tell the steps they are taking are leading in the wrong direction. Forget about the promise. What is their life really like? So the question is not what they are promising, but where have they been and where are they going? The past is sometimes a better indicator than whatever promises people make, because we can all say anything. This is why God's word is so awesome. God makes promises and he backs them up with an incredible track record of faithfulness. We sing a song quite often, which I love, called The Goodness of God. And it talks about God's goodness. He's been faithful. He's been faithful when we haven't been faithful. He'll continue to be faithful to the end of our life. So what I'm saying, commit to becoming the right person. Look up, trusting God's plan, you know, letting him lead you. So let me wrap it up. Back to 1 Corinthians 13, I list all those things, and there's more in there that you can read. But we get down to verse 11, and it says this: when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, with this in mind, let me ask you, how does every childhood fairy tale end? The prince finally rescues the princess, and maybe he kills a fire-breathing dragon, and finally they run through this enchanted forest, and they get to the castle where they live happily ever after. Well, and that's children's stories, you know, and in children's stories, if the right people can just get together, the rest will take care of itself. It's, you know, what this message is saying, it's time to put away, you know, childhood stories. It's time to put behind us that way of thinking. It's not about finding Prince Charming or the beautiful damsel in duress. That's fairy tale stuff. That's good movies. That's fun books or whatever. But it's going to lead you down to the right person myth And you're going to spend so much time looking for the right person, looking around instead of up, looking out instead of in, you will find somebody. There's probably lots of people in this world that you can be compatible with, but will it be God's person? I'm telling you, this is how you can find that good thing, that wonderful person that God has for you in your life. You've got to put away the childish things, put away the cultural things, and embrace the God things. And I promise you, it will be amazing. It will be wonderful. Father, I pray for any of our young people, Lord. I know they probably, hopefully, have a desire to be married and find that beautiful, wonderful person that will just make their life feel so special. But God, I know, God, that right now is the time to work on us. And Father, I also know that there are folks that are married that they might be going through a phase where, you know, there's not a whole lot of happiness. There's not a whole lot of good things going on. And I know that some of that just happens because of life. You're busy with kids and you're busy with church and you're busy with work and all these things take your time that we forget as couples sometimes to give the time we need each other. Lord, I believe we always need to keep building ourselves up in the Lord. We always need to keep getting better at every one of those issues. I need to get better at being patient. I need to continue to get better at being more considerate and all of these things. And I believe we all do, Lord. And you know what? It's the reason you sent the Holy Spirit into our life to lead us into the truth so that we can become the right person. So, Father, I pray that those that heard this message will embrace it for whatever situation they're in, so that they can receive the blessings and the joy of the Lord. For I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.